It's October 7th, 2024. It's been a year. I have nothing planned to say today. I'm just going to be talking off the top of my head. I was supposed to have a podcast this morning with Shabbos Kestenbaum. He literally got called by Trump. By Trump, right as we were supposed to go on air. So you get me today and you'll get him on another day. That being said, I have so much to say. And at the same time, there's basically no words. And so I'm going to do the best that I can because I don't really know where to start. And right now, it seems like there's never going to be an end. The first thing I want to say is that as difficult as this year has been for all of us who care, and I'm going to include the people on both sides because this has been just such a painful and devastating war for everybody, and I acknowledge that. But we still have 101 hostages languishing and being tortured in Gaza by Hamas, including, of course, one baby, one child, Kfir and Ariel Bibas, their parents, Shiri and Yarden, Shlomo Mansour, 86 years old, the oldest of the hostages. And of the rest, we could only pray. We could only pray. Who's alive? And in what condition? And as hard as this year has been for any of us to endure, to watch unfold, there's nothing. There's nothing that any of us has or will go through that compares to what these hostages are enduring. And it's hard to say whether the hostages would be better off had they already, God forbid, been killed or have to undergo the constant torture day in and day out. I was listening to the feed that's going on all day today from the Friends of the IDF. And it was the father of a fallen soldier or a murdered soldier who was saying, I believe it was 152 days, that the 152 days when they did not know if their son was alive or dead in Gaza, he said, were easier for him than the days that followed when he found out that his son had been murdered. But that his wife, on the other hand, had the exact reverse, because as a mother, she was so concerned for the pain of her child and what he might be enduring at the hands of Hamas that for her, it was those first 152 days that were pure torture. And on some level, she was able to let go when they got the news that their son had been murdered, because she knew at that point that the pain was now her own instead of that of her son. And as impossible as it is to imagine what these 101 hostages have been going through for an entire year, when I think about their families and the unknowns and what they have to go through, waking up again every day to the reality that their loved one or loved ones, sometimes two or more people in a family, are being held. It's impossible. It's impossible to imagine the torture that they're going through right now. And there's so many aspects of this war 1 year on to reflect upon. I want to give a bit of a personal reflection, because those of you who have been Instagram followers of me for a long time know that for years, every single month, I did what's called a yoga athletic cause, which was a new fundraiser for a different organization every month, even if it was a natural disaster in a territory that would rather see me as a Jew dead. But I can also say that as a Jew, I was brought up to always give tzedakah, to always give charity, and to always give to those who need more than I do. And it's upon this Jewish value that month after month, I did these fundraisers and we raised thousands of dollars every single month. And then October 7th. And of course, my first thought was I need to do a yoga athletic cause fundraiser for Israel. And my second thought was, what if no one joins? This is not my first rodeo. I've been advocating for Israel for decades, since before social media and way before October 2023. Every time I get the death threats, I lose the followers, friends, students turn on me for defending the Jewish state. But I couldn't think of anything worse than creating a fundraiser after this horrific massacre that murdered over 1,200 people, leaving thousands with horrible injuries, not to mention the rapes, the 250 plus hostages that were taken, and the unspeakable war crimes that occurred. To think of reaching out to my yoga community has always been there for every cause. And having it fall on deaf ears was unbearable to me. And so at first, I thought I couldn't do it because I thought it would be too disrespectful if no one showed up. The next day, I got a couple emails from Instagram friends, DMs, who said that I needed to do a yoga athletic cause. And so I did. I started one for Magen David Adom the next day. And we did raise, actually, I think about $6,000. But the moment I launched this, and keep in mind, the IDF had not responded, nor would they be responding for 3 weeks after this. The moment I launched it, and with all love and respect and appreciation for the people who showed up, I immediately started receiving vitriol from people in the yoga community, saying the most evil incriminations of me for supporting the Jewish state and of the Jewish state, because I had the audacity to start a fundraiser for Magen David Adom. That's how it all began. There's nobody who's been paying attention who didn't know that the world was going to turn very harshly on Israel as soon as the IDF responded. And given the extent of this horror, we knew the response was going to be dramatic. But at the same time, I'm pretty sure that nobody guessed how quickly this was going to turn. Within minutes, within hours, within a day, there are protests all over the world that Israel was responsible for the mass and macabre atrocities that were the evidence was being streamed real time by the Hamas terrorists themselves. Could you imagine if the horrors of the Holocaust were live streamed by the Nazis? The world would be a very different place. The world would have stepped in. At least back then, there was plausible deniability. Nobody has that anymore. Everybody knows the history, and everybody knows what happens when the world turns once again against the Jewish people. And I don't say this to portray myself or my people as victims. In fact, we are just the opposite. We're not interested in a race to the bottom, and we're not interested in victimhood. Am Yisrael is strong, is powerful. It's a superpower. Why? Not because it seeks the destruction of others, but because we as Jews have learned through the millennia that we have no choice. And after the Holocaust, we decided never again. And that's why one of the smallest countries on earth has one of the mightiest militaries and the single best intelligence. Because we have no choice. We have no other country to go back to. And we have no one else to defend us. We're learning that more and more with the travesty that's going on in the United Nations, and also with the morally confused leaders of the world, led by Macron and Lamy, Trudeau. And yes, the Biden-Harris administration. While on so many levels they have stood by Israel to give support, their constant verbal undermining of the Jewish state, of Netanyahu, and of this war has done irreparable harm in the way that people view the conflict. And the United Nations, which has become a complete farce of justice, who has no interest in condemning the atrocities of 10/7, no interest by UN Women to stand up against the rape and the sexual violence that was used on 10/7, and certainly on the women who are still being held in Gaza today. The UN does not care that every single thing that Hamas and Hezbollah does and have done is a war crime. Their single-minded focus on destroying the Jewish state, however they can, is reprehensible. And if people can't see through it, and I find that most people can't, because the United Nations, right? This is the organization that protects the world and makes sure that everyone is free and safe and healthy. And it's run by terrorists like Iran, who goes directly in front of them, says they'll wipe Israel off the face of the map, and that is not considered to be cause for censure. And yet more than 50%, more than 50% of all UN resolutions are against the Jewish state. That means every single country put together, year after year, does not have as many resolutions against it as Israel. Israel that has not started any of these wars or conflicts. Israel that had a ceasefire on 10/6 when the Hamas terrorists came in and decided to instigate their massacre. Israel that has no border conflicts or other reason to start a war with Lebanon other than Hezbollah raining 9,000 rockets in the course of a year in order to support their friends in the south, Hamas. Israel, that is right now fighting a war on 7 fronts. Imagine a country smaller than the size of New Jersey being attacked by such a huge percentage of the Arab world that is 500 times larger than it is. And Macron wants to hold back the arms from Israel? Military leader after military leader, John Spencer, Andrew Fox, Richard Kemp, to name a few, have attested over and over again that Israel is the single most humane military on earth. And if the terrorists insist on hiding in tunnels, under apartments, in mosques, in schools, in hospitals, and then tells the people above that they cannot leave, despite IDF warnings, despite leaflets and speakers and emails and texts and phone calls to the enemy that Israel says to the civilians, get out. There are terrorists here and we need to deal with this. And the world turns on Israel. Hamas and Hezbollah literally exist to destroy the Jewish state. You have to understand that. The Palestinian cause is not one to have a side-by-side state in peace with its Jewish neighbors. It's written right in their doctrine. They want it all. There are no Jews left in the Middle East. Up to 900,000 of them were exiled around World War II. 20% of Israel, on the other hand, is Arab. What do you think the Palestinians are going to do with the Jews if they get from the river to the sea? You think this is going to be a peace-loving nation where all people have equal rights, like they do, by the way, right now in Israel? That Arab Israelis have all the same rights, all the same civil rights, all the same voting rights as their Jewish neighbors? And yet not a single Jew is even allowed to live in an Arab state? Do you understand what the implications of this are? Do you know that Israel, more than 5 times, depending on how you count, has offered states to Palestinians, including up to 97% of what they claim they want. And instead of having negotiations, what they receive is intifada. What they've received is more war. And if you don't understand that all Israel wants and all Israel has ever wanted, and the very reason that Israel exists is to be safe in their own nation, it's time to go back to your history books. Because the Israeli Declaration of Independence says flat out that they will be a free and secure state where everyone within it has equal rights, regardless of race, religion, gender. By the way, that doesn't exist anywhere else in the Middle East. Oh, and by the way, the Arab Israelis who decided to stay, sorry, my screen froze, I hope you could see me, in Israel, were granted full and equal rights. Think about that. Because you know what happened to the refugees that went to Jordan? Nothing. They are still to this day living in actual refugee camps. They never received any sort of citizenship. I'm sorry that my screen has frozen, as it always seems to do when I do these YouTube lives. Also, in Lebanon, the Palestinians live as second-class citizens. Only in Israel do they get to live as equal citizens. And yet the world has decided that Israel is the problem. How? How is this possible? The world has gone crazy. It truly has. It's like the world has forgotten what is good and what is evil. To think that Students for Justice in Palestine and their friends have declared a week of rage this week, a week of rage, the week of October 7th, instead of allowing the Jews to have some peace, to mourn, to deal with the horror. Instead, they have decided a better idea would be to intimidate and threaten. Enrage against the Jewish society in America who only want peace. Look at the Abraham Accords. I mean, Israel will literally make peace with anyone who is willing to make peace with the Jewish state. They did it with Egypt. They did it with Jordan, and they did it with the Accords. And I promise you that if the Palestinians were willing, they would do it with them as well. But you can't have peace when you have no partner in peace. You can't make peace with yourself. And how is it possible that Israel, that is doing everything in its power to protect the civilians of the enemy, is the one that's being held accountable across the world as being the evil power, the terrorist power? Do you know that every single thing that Hamas does, top to bottom, is a war crime. When they went into Israel on October 7th, it was with the express intent to create as much death and destruction as possible. When the Jews, when Israel went into Gaza, they did it with the intention of mitigating civilian casualties as much as possible. And if you don't understand the difference between war and terror, again, it's time to check in with the moral compass. Because honestly, what would you do? What would you do if what happened on October 7th happened in your country? What do you think your government would do? Would they sit back? Would they show restraint? Or perhaps would they go in and do everything they can to secure their borders to make sure that they have safety for their population? Israel did not want this war. Israel did not start this war. Israel has no choice but to win this war. And the world needs to stand behind them exactly the way that it would against any other terrorist organization. We have floods of Hamas and Hezbollah fighters, not fighters, supporters, sorry, flooding our major streets all over the world. Could you imagine if after 9/11, we had Al-Qaeda forces, Al-Qaeda supporters flooding our streets? You think that the government would allow that? There's no way. There's no way. The National Guard would have come in, made mass arrests, and I'm sure that all these people would be put on some sort of terror watch list. But no, because it's Israel and because it's the Jews, the double standards are glaring, they're offensive, and they are quite honestly absolutely frightening. The fact that administrations on college campuses are literally allowing anti-Israel students to block entrances to buildings and to quads and to stop Jewish kids from getting to their own classes, that there are professors who are screaming of the exhilaration of 10/7, that there are people, women, who are saying rape is resistance. What kind of world are we living in? What happened to our Western values? Where is this glorification of terror coming from? National leaders who are afraid to call it out, who are afraid to say that terrorists are terrorists, the BBC that won't even show a movie about the Hamas atrocities unless the word terrorist was taken out. We're living in an inverted reality that is headed in a really, really dark direction. We are a society that is allowing itself to be consumed on some level by hate and normalizing it and making it okay. And that a professor screaming for Israeli blood is no longer offensive. It's just resistance. They're the social justice warriors. How do people have such a short memory? Have you seen the movies? Have you seen the GoPro footage? Have you seen what Hamas itself is so proud of? Children calling their parents to tell them that they killed 10 Jews with their own hands. I know there's been death and destruction in Gaza, but you will never, ever hear that kind of thing from the IDF. The IDF goes in to protect lives, to create a safe nation for the Jews of Israel, and again, to do everything they can to mitigate civilian harm, as opposed to Hamas and Hezbollah, who send in rockets with the express intent of hitting anyone and everyone that they can. Do you see the difference? Hamas is holding 101 Israeli citizens hostage. And people are saying, we need to trade them for the Palestinian hostages, meaning prisoners. Palestinian prisoners who have murdered and committed the most horrific crimes and are in Israeli jail, because that's what happens when you're a terrorist. There's nothing that's equivalent between a 1.5-year-old baby who just spent one of those years in a terror dungeon and a Hamas terrorist who has killed tens or dozens of people. The world's insistence on creating these false equivalencies between the Jewish state and the terrorists that surround it are literally disgusting. They are a disgusting commentary on the world. And for anybody who is marching against the Jews, against the Jewish state, when 101 hostages are still being held, each one of them, another war crime. What do you want from the Jewish state? Can you imagine living in a country that is surrounded by people who want to kill you? It's unimaginable, especially if you live here in America, where we live safe and comfortable lives. We know that Mexico and Canada are not going to attack us and try to overrun us and kill all our citizens. Besides, we're too big to fail. Israel isn't. Israel is a tiny little country in a sea of terror. And if you haven't been there, I understand it's impossible to really comprehend what that state is all about, because the media shows such a distorted image, such a distorted sense of what is Israel, what are Jewish values. I'll tell you, as somebody who's been there more than 20 times, Israel is a peace-loving nation. They're a Western nation. Israel is just like America in Hebrew. And all you have to do is go there to find out. Because everyone who goes to Israel comes back a believer and an understander of how wrong the narratives are being told are. And how did this world, the good people of the world, get brainwashed to believe that pure terror is somehow goodness? How is this possible that our morality has become so twisted that we've completely lost sight of what pure evil looks like, and the understanding that it must be defeated, and it must be defeated at all costs? Hard stop. Israel has for a year been fighting a war on terror, not just for them, but for all of Western civilization. Israel, in the last month, has killed multiple people that are on the U.S. most wanted terror list with up to $7 million bounties on their head. Do you think that that would bring some sort of praise, some sort of appreciation or thanks from the Western world for saving it all? Israel is not just saving itself. They are saving the Western world. Who rushed in? Where are the world leaders who rushed in to thank them? Instead, they get flooded with condemnations for removing the terror infrastructure. And people all over the world with signs that Hamas are not terrorists and Hezbollah are not terrorists. Why? Why? Because they hate Jews? And therefore it's okay because Jews are bad? And do not tell me one more time that if the whole world is against Israel, then Israel must be bad. Let me remind you that in World War II, the whole world was also against the Jews. It didn't make it good, and it didn't make it right. And in retrospect, we can all see that evil as clear as day. Why can't we see it now? People need to stop hiding behind the lies and the propaganda and the anti-Israel and the anti-Semitic vitriol that is filling our screens and our TVs and our magazines and newspapers. We need to start thinking for ourselves. And we need to remember, because yes, it's been a year. And a year can seem like an eternity. But can you remember the horrors? Can you remember Noah Arghamani on the back of a motorcycle as terrorists gleefully drove her away into Gaza as she cried and screamed for her boyfriend to please save her as he was shoved with his hands behind his back by terrorists? Do you remember Shawnee Luke, whose dead body, broken into inhuman shapes, was thrown into the back of a truck and paraded through Gaza while the innocent civilians handed out candies and spat on her body? Do you remember how they beheaded an immigrant worker, not even an Israeli, as he begged for his life, and killed a Muslim by the roadside for daring to be an Israeli? Do you remember? Do you remember families being tied together and burned beyond recognition? Do you remember thousands of cars being attacked at point blank range by terrorists, many masquerading as IDF soldiers as they shot the innocent civilians in the head? Do you remember Hamas terrorists flying in on parachutes into a peace festival to slaughter hundreds of young men, women, who were literally there to celebrate peace and love and the environment? Do you remember that the peaceniks on the border of Gaza, living in the kibbutzim, who dedicated their lives to taking Gazans into Israel for health care, for work, so that they could get better wages than they could get in Gaza, to take care of them? Do you remember when those people were slaughtered by the very Gazans who they spent their lives trying to help? Do you remember the women who were tied naked to trees as they were raped by Hamas? Do you remember? Does any of this matter? Does all of it matter? Because where is our morality? Where is our decency? Where are the world leaders who swore that they were going to stand by Israel until Hamas was defeated? Where are they now? Where are their voices, and who are they standing for? And tell me one more war in the history of the world where the leaders of each country supported both sides. Show me that war. Show me the war where world leaders literally did not know the difference between good and evil. Show me. Show me the war that doesn't involve Israel, that has any of these standards, that counts civilian casualties in a way that no other war ever has. Show me that war. It doesn't exist. You have to know this. Double standards are anti-Semitic. The double standards that apply to the Jewish state, as John Spencer says, aren't even double standards, they're triple standards, because nobody is held to the standards that Israel is held to. And 1 year later, I hope you all pray to God that each of our hostages is released, because in case you didn't know, this whole war could have ended. It could have ended on October 7th if Hamas laid down its arms and returned the hostages. They started this war. Israel does not want this war. Israel does not want to see its own children, its own soldiers being killed. But it has no choice. They're not going to leave 101 hostages to languish. They're not going to leave these rabid terrorists who have vowed to perpetrate October 7th again and again on the Jewish state to persist. They have to be eradicated. They have to. And Israel is not in a war against the Palestinians, against the Gazans, against the Lebanese. Israel is in a war against terror. And when the world wakes up and understands this reality, when the world stands with righteousness instead of turning its back against it, maybe there is a future. Maybe there is a future where peace is possible, where Israel continues to make more Abraham Accords with its neighbors, with Saudi Arabia, with the countries that surround it, until the enemies are surrounded by peace. And maybe at that point, they'll realize that the war is futile. And why can't we all live together in a peaceful Jewish state and a peaceful Palestinian state? But first, the Palestinians need to be willing to have Jewish neighbors. Despite what the Torah says, you don't even have to love thy neighbor. You really don't. Just don't kill him. Ceasefire is up to Hamas. Ceasefire is up to Hezbollah. And at this point, if Iran does not pull in its proxies, the world war that is likely to ensue is not Israel's fault. Remember that. Israel is fighting this war for all of us. We need to support her, and we need to get every single hostage home. Am Yisrael Chai.